it is Pentecost Sunday all over planet Earth this morning. A billion plus believers are joining with us today as we remember the day that changed everything on Earth, Pentecost Sunday, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday commemorates the descending of the Holy Spirit from heaven into the earth, and he's never left. It also marks the beginning of the church's mission to the world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make believers and disciples out of all men and women. This began on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus is speaking to his followers and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus had talked with his disciples about the Holy Spirit a few times while he was on earth. He had told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. In other words, God thinks the Holy Spirit is so valuable and so important to us as his followers and to the mission he leaves us. He told his early disciples about the Holy Spirit, don't leave home without it. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This was the day of Pentecost. They had waited to receive. And God poured out the Holy Spirit on the earth. Now, this past week, at a funeral, after the ceremony graveside, a gentleman came up to me. He was probably in his early 60s. And he was sharing a part of his testimony with me. And he said this. He said, "All my life, I had known about God. All my life, I even believed that Jesus was the Son of God." He said, "But I had never been taught much about the Holy Spirit until I turned 50 years old. And the more I learned about the Holy Spirit and his work in my life, my relationship with God has been so much better. How sad that even many who believe in God and believe Jesus is the Son of God have no relationship, certainly as they potentially can, with the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit." Now, God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But while we're on this earth, if we have any communication with God, any relationship with God, it is not with the Father primarily. He is in heaven. And it is not with Jesus the Son. He is in heaven at the Father's right hand. If we have any interaction and intimacy and relationship with God while we're on earth, it is primarily with the Holy Spirit. And not only is he on earth, but he's within us. The Spirit dwells within us. There was a time when Jesus was in the world, born as a baby, grew up to be a man, fully God, fully man. And that was wonderful for his followers. For Jesus to be with them. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. But that's not the dispensation we live in today. As much as we think we'd like to go back and live, be on earth when Jesus walked the earth, be one of the many in the crowd that followed him and heard every word he said and saw every miracle he performed, there came a time when Jesus said to his disciples, God is with you now, but he shall be in you. I want to talk about four kinds of people quickly that you'll see on the Sea of Life. And the Sea of Life, you can picture it. Life is referred to as a sea. In many cases, I believe there is a doctrine, or at least a theory that everything sea level and above represents life. I mean, we've got to have breath. If you have your nose above water, above sea level, then you're alive. And then everything beneath sea level, in the waters of the sea, represents danger and then death. But on the Sea of Life, you will see four kinds of people. The first are the floaters. The floaters have a victim mentality. They live their life most randomly and least intentionally. They keep a list of things that could go wrong. And that leads to a paralysis for much of their life. They're just floating on the sea of life, victim of anything that passes by. And then the second kind of person you'll see on the Sea of Life are the drifters. Now, the drifters are like the floaters, except they attach themselves to something. Dead wood that helps them stay afloat, but they're just drifting around. The drifters move around a lot without much obvious purpose in their movement. And they may have brief periods of direction, but it's short-lived and always subject to change with the winds. And they are an unstable group of people. Thirdly, you have the surfers. You'll see the surfers. Now they, upon appearance, look like they've got everything under control. It looks like they have their life together. They've at least mastered a skill set. They can surf. But they spent most of their life waiting to ride the perfect wave, waiting for that one break that will take them all the way. That's the surfers. And then fourthly, on the Sea of Life, after the floaters and the drifters and the surfers, you will find navigators. These are people who are skilled in directing the course of the ship. They take responsibility to do whatever is necessary to guarantee a safe arrival at their intended destination. The navigators are people of priorities with the ability to think and take actions in order of importance. Now, if we get to know the Holy Spirit and He is navigating our life, it makes for a much better earth experience while we're in this temporary temple. The Holy Spirit is the great navigator in our life. Listen to just a few scriptures as we go along. In Ephesians chapter 3, 19, these powerful words, it says, be filled with all the fullness of God. Be filled with all the fullness of God. There is no way any of us can achieve that without the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, as soon as we're born again, the work of the Holy Spirit begins in each of our lives, and it begins like this. As soon as we turn our heart toward God and we receive Jesus as our Lord and surrender to His Lordship by faith, then the Holy Spirit seals us at that moment. That's the Bible word. He places a seal on us. And the Bible says that seal is like a deposit or just a down payment. This is just a little bit of everything else that's yet to come. God is saying, since you have believed on me, I'm sealing you. I'm branding you. You are mine now forever because of the seal of my Spirit on you. And don't think this is all I have for you, God says. I have so much more for you that will come in time. This is a guarantee that much more is ahead. You know, when you're born again, you don't get everything God has for you in your lifetime at that one experience. He always has more. And we, if we're navigated by the Holy Spirit of God, we're filled with all the fullness of God. That's the goal He gives to us. Now, when I go to buy a house, and that's something I do about twice a week. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe twice, two or three times in my lifetime. Don't ever want to do it again, but here's the way it works. You find the house you want. And you know other people are out there wanting that house too. They're looking at it. Jane is showing it to people. But you see it and you want it. And before you leave, if you really want that house, you will give the owner a deposit. And that means, this is my house already. I don't want anybody else who's after it to get it. I want my name on it. Here is a deposit. Now, this is good. Now, when you walk away from that first meeting and the owner of the house you want to buy has accepted your deposit and signed the bottom line, you don't have to worry. Nobody else is going to come along later that day and get that house from you. And that's the way it is with God. As soon as we come to Him by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus to forgive us and take over the lordship of our life that we've probably wrecked at that point, the Holy Spirit begins His work. He brands us. It says this property belongs to God now. And there are others out there who might be wanting it, but there's a deposit already made and the deal is sealed. And the Holy Spirit enables us to live our lives in the Spirit. Jesus told His disciples about the Holy Spirit before He left in John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Shocker. If I had been walking with Jesus in His earthly ministry, if I had been either one of the 12 or one of the 5,000, it doesn't matter. If I had been anywhere near Him and heard what He said, and if I had seen what He had done, and then for Him to say, "It's to your advantage that I leave," I would have argued with the Lord. Anybody ever done that? You argued with the Lord? It's okay to argue with the Lord. As long as you go into the argument knowing you're going to lose. But Jesus said, "It's to your advantage." One translation says, right there, Jesus in the flesh and the Spirit saying to His disciples, "It's better for you if I leave." I would have wrestled Him on that one. But I would have had no clue what was to come. He said, "If I don't go away, the Helper," capital H, "will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." We know the Helper to be the Holy Spirit. what Jesus was saying to his followers when he was on earth. It's better if I leave you and the Holy Spirit comes instead. The immediate presence of the Holy Spirit within us is more important than the immediate presence of Jesus around us and near us and with us. Now, this is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus had told his disciples earlier in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, that the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said when he was here, I'm with you, but the Holy Spirit will be in you. God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. In John 14 and verse 17 says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. I'm just telling you, these are the good days. 2021, in spite of any other label you may want to attach to the trouble we've had in the last year, it's better to be a believer on earth in 2021 than it was to be a believer in the days Jesus walked the earth. I know, hard to wrap your head around it. Study on it. Jesus was here, God is with us. Jesus left, sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He's within us. Used to be God on the outside, now it's the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is our Helper. And I'm grateful how many times in my life and in your life have we needed a helper. Not just any helper, but Holy Spirit helper. The Holy Spirit helps us in our inability to produce results. So the Spirit of God rises up on the inside of us and brings the help we need when we need it. We have to receive it. Jesus said four words to the disciple, receive the Holy Spirit. Before you, receive the Holy Spirit. He said that to his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. We have to receive the Helper. It's been about 5 years ago, or six, I was driving home. I was in my neighborhood, three blocks from my house, and passed the house, and there was a gentleman who looked about my age. He lived there. I don't know him. He's two or three blocks from where I live, but he was by himself on the back of his pickup truck trying to unload a refrigerator by himself. So I'm almost home. I'm down here two more blocks, take a left and a block, and then a he don't know I'm his neighbor, probably. But I pulled my car over in the middle of the late afternoon. I got out of my car and I went up to him and I said, hey, man, I'll let me help you with that. He said, no, I got it. And I hope he's not watching. If he is, I tried. And so, again, I said, oh, I'm your neighbor down the street here. I'll be glad to help you with this. In fact, I could use the workout. And he said, no thanks, I've got this. Gosh, I hope he's not watching. I said, okay. And I got back in my car and left. And every time now I ride by that man's house, I remember that man would rather unload that refrigerator by himself than to receive my help. Now, I could have done without unloading a refrigerator. It's not my favorite thing to do. but I offered, but he did not receive. I offered my help, and he refused my help. Now, the Holy Spirit is our helper in life, but the Holy Spirit can be refused, can be resisted, can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be ignored. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit can even be blasphemed or vilified, slandered, debased, and defamed. All of this can be our reaction or our response to the offer made by God to send the Holy Spirit as our helper. Now, tell you what religion is, dead religion, and I hate it, is when we are reduced to nothing more than a form of godliness, and we deny the power of God. Now, I grew up a Pentecostal boy, and I was acquainted with the raw power of God, even as a little boy growing up. Now, the people worshiped with purity of hearts, and they were long on emotion. But I remember sitting in that Pentecostal church as a boy growing up, and the undeniable power that was in the atmosphere. When God began to move, there was some power that was tangible. Now, over time, I've learned, yes, God is powerful, and the Holy Spirit is the power of God. But don't confuse the power of the Spirit with emotions. Now, when the Spirit of God does deal with you, it is an emotional thing. Sometimes it's overpowering and it's overwhelming, and you will respond to God and the power of the Holy Spirit in emotional ways. But I also learned when I was about 16 or 17, I was playing in a gospel band and on the weekends, and it was my introduction to a wonderful group of people that were not Pentecostal like I was. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and we need to do it this way. Well, the Lord introduced me to people who were not Pentecostal, and they were good, God-fearing people. One was a pastor, Brother Dave. I'll honor him, Brother Dave Stevenson. He's in his 80s, lives in Texas today. Made an impression on my life when I was a teenage boy. And Benny Anderson and his wife, Maridella Anderson, and then Lewis Price, good people who went to another church and were not Pentecostal, and they knew I was a Pentecostal boy, and Pastor Dave even bought us a bus, and we rode around on a bus on the weekends, you know, and on that bus one day, I was sharing with the rest of them about my church, and they were sort of quiet compared to my church, and I told Pastor Dave on the bus, well, you know, y'all are not as spiritual as we are at our church. And I was pure when I said that. In my heart, that's what I meant. Oh, yeah, we're more spiritual, obviously. And bless Pastor Dave's heart, his tender, gentle response to me was, Carl, maybe not more spiritual, maybe just more emotional. And when he said that, I thought, you know, that might be part of it. That might be. I mean, when you talk about the Holy Spirit of God, the part of God that is not out there, but the Spirit of God that's within here, emotions do come with it. But don't ever look at somebody who's emotional in their expression and in their response to the move of God, whatever God's doing in their life, and assume they are spiritually superior because of an emotion. Oh, my. That was, I need a cue card with an amen on it. Oh, there we go. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers us, and it's not based on our ability, but based on our surrender. God can do more with a surrendered person than he can with a capable person without surrender. In John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12, Jesus said this to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. That would have been another shocker if I had been walking with Jesus while he was on earth, ministering for those 3.5 years in the flesh, to hear him say, I've got more I want to say to you, but you can't handle the truth yet. But that's going to change when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth. And when he gets here and you receive the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide you into all truth. I believe the Message translation says, he's going to teach you all the truth there is. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the Spirit of revelation, and he reveals truth. Listen to some more powerful promises. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what the Holy Spirit does. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I like every word that was in that, every single word. Wasn't those powerful words? And that's just a picture of what the Holy Spirit is going to do inside of us during our lifetime. I mean, he gives us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in all spiritual understanding. In other words, the Holy Spirit as a teacher gives us the best of intelligence. The Holy Spirit is a life coach. The Holy Spirit is a mentor. The Holy Spirit is a leader and a guide. The Holy Spirit can take a believer and lead that person from the periphery of God's will, on the outskirts of God's best, and guide that believer to the middle of God's perfect will for his life. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1:9, it says, be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This cannot happen in our lives without the Holy Spirit. As soon as you are born again, the Spirit of God seals you and says, this is just the down payment, a lot more to come. And as you're able to hear it, I'll share it with you. The teacher shows up when the student is ready. Jesus said, you can't bear everything I want to tell you now. But all of that will change after you receive the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you into all the truth. And he is our guide. And then, that famous verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's an inner leading, they are the sons of God. Now, if you're here today, or if you're watching live stream today, and you think, well, I know for sure I'm a son of God, but I'm not so sure he leads me. I don't know what it's like for him to lead me. you're wrong. You can't be one without being the other too. It's just that clear. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you are a believer and you're a son or a daughter of God, go ahead and claim the truth about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The two are the same, the sons of God and those who are led by the Spirit of God. There should be no exceptions. Biblically, there is not. And then I love this about the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of me. He's on the inside of you. There have been times I've needed comfort, and it could not come from the outside. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, told his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, my wife is a great comfort to me in about everything. I can't think of a better comforter for me externally than my wife. I hope all you husbands feel that way about your wife. Not my wife, but your wife. But there have been times in my life when I needed an inner comfort. Somebody who could take the storm raging inside me and speak a word to it and it be still and calm. Someone that when I'm wounded or hurting, it don't even show up on the outside. I'm dealing with it myself. And to know that the Holy Spirit is within me, comforting me from the inside out. He is a comforter. I tell you, I walk with people through the worst tragedies in their life. Even this past week, a 34-year-old young man who was alive and well, enjoying every hour of life, and had his share of demons to fight in his life, and had won. He had struggled with addictions for much of his life, but a little over a year ago became sober and had remained sober. And then at the age of 34, an automobile accident, and he was instantly taken out of life. And he had left a good testimony. He had posted on May 7th on his Facebook post, I'm thanking God every day. Hashtag sober. I'm trusting God with things I've never trusted him before. What a great testimony. And that, and then so many other things when people go through. How do people go through life when they deal with certain tragedies and they do not have the indwelling comforter? I don't know how, but they do. Listen, you want a heartbreak? Think of your neighbor down the street or a family member out of state or an acquaintance or coworker, and they don't know God, and then tragedy hits their life. Something happens to their child, and it hurts, and they don't have the comforter living inside. That's all the more reason we need to take the good news to the ends of the earth and let everybody know Holy Spirit is available now. He dwells inside of the children of God. He's a comforter. And then he is the Spirit of peace. His peace confirms that we're safe or not. I think the Amplified Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and minds like an umpire. The umpire is the one who says, you're safe, or no, you're way off on that. And then this is the house that he dwells in. He dwells within us, and he's the speaker of the house. Most of the time when you hear a word from God, a witness, a confirming word, you will hear it on the inside. Now, it may happen on the outside first. It may be when you read something or hear somebody say something and you know immediately God might be in that. Well, the filter of the Spirit, the speaker of the house, the Holy Spirit that speaks to us from the inside out. That's why when you hear God speak, and we're not being super weird or super spiritual or supernatural when we say it, but if you hear a believer, a seasoned believer, ever say, well, the Lord spoke to me, it probably was not heard with the natural ear, but it was heard on the inside, that witness of the Spirit that lets you know God is in this. And then the Holy Spirit gives us gifts of the Spirit. We don't own the gifts. They're on loan to us by the Holy Spirit. And He uses us with the gifts of the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives. Our lives. I'll give you a little litmus test instantly, right now in 30 seconds. How much is the Holy Spirit empowering and enabling you and me in our lives? This is how you can know. Our lives should be defined by the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Jesus convinced all of the law into this one word. Joy, this is inner joy from the inside, even when circumstances are difficult. The Spirit bears the fruit of joy. And then peace, don't we need more of that? This is God's antidote for troubled times, trouble in the world all around, yet for the people of God who have the indwelling Spirit of God at work, they can know peace in troubled times. And then patience. And this is one I don't have enough of. None. My wife said, no patience. And our little four-year-old granddaughter doesn't have any either. And she will tell you, I have no patience, is what Kennedy has told us. I have no patience. Well, you've got to wait till tomorrow. We can't go get it till tomorrow. Well, I have no patience, she says. And Nanny says, you know where you got that. But hello, the Holy Spirit's still working on me with my patience. Long-suffering through difficult situations without giving God a deadline to change it. And then the fruit of the Spirit of kindness. Do any of these fruits resonate with you? Are they on display in your life? Kindness, thoughtfulness, with an excellent spirit. Goodness. Just as God is good, the Holy Spirit brings an intrinsic goodness into our lives that reflects God's character. Faithfulness. Being trustworthy. Being reliable. Being dependable at all times. That's a trademark of the Holy Spirit. That's His fruit that He bears in our life. Gentleness. Sensitive. Understanding and not demanding. And then finally, self-control, moderate, the ability to live within boundaries and restraints. I mean, I can't do this by myself, neither can you. But the Holy Spirit indwelling us produces this kind of fruit. And the Holy Spirit helps us balance our natural life and our spiritual life. I struggled with that. That's why I'm such a natural person. I mean, I could walk around and try to make people think I'm spiritually mature more than I am. But I know enough to know it's God doing the good work inside of each of us. And none of us need to claim that we have a right to it. The only thing we can do is simply yield and surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to help us balance our natural and our spiritual life. I'm not into supernatural, sensational, spooky weirdness. I just don't think that gets us very far when it comes to winning the world and reaching the world, which is the Great Commission. But the fruit of the Spirit will. The fruit, if they see love, they'll believe right then. Just get that one thing, if we could, you got one job just to show love. If we were to do that, Jesus said the whole world would know right then. You're my disciples. But now with the Holy Spirit, and I'm wrapping it up, I could talk about the Holy Spirit for a while. I'm excited about what he's doing in me, and he's not finished. Look at me. I'm still not done. He's still working on me and on all of us. But our witness as believers with the Spirit of God dwelling inside us, our testimony should be this, and this is mine. I've had more joy than sorrow in my lifetime. I've had more peace than turmoil in my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of peace. I've had more laughter than I've had tears. I'm grateful for that. I've had more victories in my life than I've had defeats. I've had some defeats, but many more victories. And I attribute it to God the Holy Spirit. I've received more love in my lifetime than I've received hate. I've received more mercy in my lifetime than I've received judgment. I've had more advances in my life than I've had setbacks. I have gained more in my life than I've ever lost, having Jesus as my Lord. I have today, this very minute, up to this moment, I have more faith working for me than I have fear working against me, all because of the Holy Spirit and his working inside me, and he's not finished with me yet. Standing.